I felt the strength. Thank God for all of you. Give yourselves a hand praise. Come on, give yourselves a hand praise. Hallelujah. Because if you weren't here, there would be no church. And we just bless the Lord. We honor the Lord. We thank God for all that He's done. Somewhere it said, my soul looks back and wonders how I got over it. Anybody have some of them low points? Some dark points? You didn't know how you were going to get through it. But look what God has done. Somebody say, He has done great things. How many know God has done great things? Amen. Just because we hear the numbers don't mean we got to be quiet. We got to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. We just thank God. You ever have one of those moments when you go over a scripture and then certain words in the scripture just seem to keep coming back to you? Amen. I know for our Wash Night service, we went over, and it's also a part of our theme, the 22nd chapter of Luke. But as I was preparing, I kept going back to the 22nd chapter of Luke. So that's where we're going to be tonight. Amen. And what we're going to go over tonight is every time you pray, prayer should be a unique experience.
Amen.
Every time you pray, prayer should be a, can we say unique? Unique experience. What makes prayer unique is special. It's different. It's not like anything else. So when we pray, we shouldn't pray just the same as just prayer. Every time we pray, it's going to be unique. And then what we're going to do, we're going to go over, once again, Luke chapter 22, if we can all stand. And we're going to also parallel that with Jacob when he wrestled to show you the uniqueness of how prayer is and what prayer can do. Amen. Jesus said, men are always to pray. And the reason that so many people are fainting and giving up on God is because they're not praying. Prayer is our power. The scripture said, but ye be loved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, which is what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. And then Paul said, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. So when I'm praying, I'm just building myself up. Hallelujah. Well, why am I building myself up? Because of the unexpected things. Right. When you prepare, when the unexpected thing happens, you say, I already built up.
Amen.
So it can't overtake me. Amen. So we're going to read at Luke chapter 22. We're going to read verses 39 through 48 of Luke chapter 22. And then what I'm going to do is highlight something in this scripture, you know, because I read it, but the Lord wouldn't let me leave it. You know how you try to prepare? Because I've been reading my Proverbs.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So tonight we should be on the third chapter, unless you're ambitious and just kept on going. I kept on going. Okay, that's right. Who all kept on going? I like to keep on going. I said keep on. Don't just stop it. Keep on going. Amen. But Proverbs is the book of wisdom. Proverbs deal a lot of life practical application. So we're going to read one chapter every day.
Amen.
So by the end of each month, Lord willing, we will read through the whole book of Proverbs. And then the next month, we read it
again.
So Lord willing and Terry, by the end of the year, we will read through the book of Proverbs 12 times.
Amen.
Amen. And you will put some stuff in you that God can use. Amen. So Luke chapter 22, we're going to read verses 39 through 48 together. Do we all have it? Amen. The 39 verse reads, and he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. He had to be praying some kind of prayer. We're talking about the uniqueness of prayer. When prayer is different. Amen. We all pray, but how many of us pray to an angel? Has to come and strengthen us. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And the sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. And when he arose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise, pray, lest ye enter into temptation. That's far enough. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. And the church said,
The word of the Lord
is blessed already. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. So we're dealing with the uniqueness of prayer. Amen. And as I said, we know our scripture reading is from here, verses 41 through 44, about prevailing through prayer. Not just praying and giving up. But can we say praying our way through? Can we say praying our way through? Yes, some of those challenges and things are coming at you from whatever side, you just don't know what to do, then it's time to pray. Amen. Jesus, in the Word of God, said, if you will acknowledge me in all your ways, the Lord said, I will direct thy path. So there are times when we must pray our way through. But if we go back up here to the 39th verse, and then after we go to the 39th verse, we're going to go to Luke chapter 21, and then we'll come back to 22. It says, and he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at a place, Jesus had a designated place. And if you read the scriptures, it said, that's why Judas knew where to find him. Because they were accustomed to Jesus going to the place. Well, what was in the place? It was a place of prayer. And we know the place is called Gethsemane. And Gethsemane means the all press. Gethsemane means the oil press, and it was in the Mount of Olives. Gethsemane was in the midst of olive trees. Amen. So it says Gethsemane was the oil press, and we know that in order for you to get the anointing oil, you got to press the oil. You got to extract some pressure on the oil. So they were in Gethsemane, in the oil press, and they had the anointing. And we know that Jesus is the what? Lamb of God. Right? So the Lamb was in the garden, in the anointing praying. A unique experience. You got to get to the place of what? Prayer. But it's something so unusual about Jesus. And it was unique. Let's go to Luke 21. And we're going to read, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read all of it. Let's go to verses 35, 36, and 37 of Luke 21. Now, he went to the place, right? Well, what was the place? The place was a place of prayer. And not only was it a place of prayer, but there was an anointing there. Right? There was something special about this place. 35 reads, For as a snare shall come upon them that dwell on the face of the earth. He's talking about all of the last day events that are taking place even now. This parallels Matthew chapter 24, Mark, I believe, is chapter 13 and chapter 10, dealing with the last days. So it says, verse 36, he says, Watch ye therefore and
pray
sometimes.
Always.
Pray what?
Always.
Now, Jesus went to the place. He went to the Mount of Olives. He was in Gethsemane. He said, Pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of God. Verse 37 said, And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple. But what did he do at night? At night, he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. So in the daytime, he was teaching. At night, he went to the place of prayer. Right? And if you read about Jesus, before he performed some of his greatest miracles, the Word of God lets us know that he prayed all night long, teaching us a principle of prayer. So we went to this place. So in the daytime, he would teach. In the nighttime, he would go back to the Mount of Olives, Gethsemane, and they were all knew where was the place. That's why when Judas betrayed, it was time for Judas to betray Jesus, he knew where he was at. And what was Jesus at when Judas found him? Prayer. Prayer should be a unique experience. The problem with church is we make prayer too customary. We make prayer too ordinary. We lost the significance of prayer. Now, Jesus' prayer was unique. And let's go right now to verse 44. And as I was reading, the Lord kept showing me more earnest prayer. Right? So more earnest prayer. He said, well, this is the Lord. How in the world can the Lord pray more? Right? Think about that. How can the Lord pray a more earnest prayer? But even so, the Lord uses this prayer time to contrast two verses of prayer. Right? He prayed fervently. But when he came to find his disciples, they were asleep. He contrasted prayer. When prayer is unique, you don't sleep. When prayer is unique, you get a hold of God. When prayer is unique, you get fervent. When prayer is unique, you pray more earnestly. So I say, wow, Jesus prayed more earnestly, and Elijah prayed an earnest prayer. But then, when I compare the two earnests, this word that they use for Jesus' earnest prayer, they only use it one time in the whole Bible. It was only ascribed to Jesus. So when he prayed more earnestly, it was different. Even though Elijah prayed an earnest prayer, it was a his prayer was unique. It was not like any other. There was nothing else in comparison. So the Lord contrasted a unique prayer with a common prayer. Common prayer, if you get tired, I don't pray. Common prayer, if I get tired, I just relax. The Lord said, you better watch and pray. Well, why do I need to watch and pray? Why do I need to have a unique prayer so that you don't enter into temptation? A lot of times you say, well, what happened to them? They didn't have a unique prayer. Every prayer should be different. Every time you pray, it should be special. It shouldn't just be ordinary. Well, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just going to pray. And then if you pray and your mind is everywhere else. Jesus models what a unique prayer is. Amen? So he says, and being in agony. Agony, this word, agony is only used one time. We're going to see how many one times is in this verse, and it's only about Jesus' prayer. Nobody else pray a unique prayer like Jesus, but him. So he was in agony, and agony is the Greek word agonia, which means a severe mental struggle, emotions, agony, anguish, extreme wrestling with a situation.
Jesus.
Agonia, the only time it's used in the whole Bible is when Jesus was praying in that garden, trying to overcome the flesh. So it's been in prayer and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Now the word for more earnestly is ectesterone. Oh, my bad. But it's only used one time in the whole Bible, and it's about the uniqueness of Jesus' prayer. So agony, the way Jesus prayed, is only used one time. More earnestly, even though there was some earnest prayer, is only used
one time.
And he said he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat. This word sweat, even though there are other versions word is only used
one time.
Jesus was borrowing a unique prayer. You might sweat, even though he told Adam as he sinned, he said, you're going to do this in the sweat of your brow. But that wasn't like the sweat that Jesus had when he was in the garden. So agony is only used one time. More earnest is only used
one time.
One time. Amen. The way he prayed till he sweat is only used
one time.
There's a uniqueness in prayer. Amen. Every time you pray, it should be a different experience. We sing that song, every round goes. When I look at my prayer life, and if we examine our prayer life, is our prayer life on the same level that it was in when we first started, or is it increasing?
Jesus.
Is our prayer life unique? Are we having a unique experience? And so after he had the sweat, it said, and it was as it were great drops of blood. This word for great drops is only used. It is something different about the Lord. Yes, there are others that sweat. There were others that had blood. There were others that had earnest prayer. There were others that agonized, but none of them did like the Lord did. His prayer was unique. It was different. So this great drops of blood is the Greek word thrombos, which means a large thick drop, especially of clotting blood. It was something about the Lord. So the Lord is marveling. He said, now, you over there sleeping, when you ought to be
praying.
Today we probably won't do as much sleeping, but you're doing everything else when you ought to be praying. To have a unique prayer experience means you have to do something different.
Amen.
You have to do something that's special. It's not, I'm just going to pray. No, I'm going to get a hold of God.
Yes.
Amen. So four times in that verse, in Jesus' prayer, he did something that no one else has ever done.
Right.
Amen. No one else modeled prayer like he did. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 32. We're dealing with a uniqueness in prayer. Everybody prayed, but nobody prayed like Jesus prayed. Amen. A uniqueness in prayer. Well, also, Jacob prayed. And Jacob, when it comes to him praying, he had a uniqueness in his prayer as well. Amen. Verse 32, verse 24 reads, and Jacob was left. That's the best time to get to God. Get a hold of God. It's when you are
alone.
You don't need nobody else. Somebody said, all I need is Jesus. So Jacob was alone, and there wrestled a man with him. Now this word for wrestle is a bad, A-B-A-Q. There's a whole lot of wrestling in the Bible, but this type of prayer, this type of getting a hold of God, this word for wrestle is only used
one time.
One time. Throughout the whole Bible is only, now there are other indications of wrestling, but in the case of Jacob, in the case of Jesus, they were in a bad situation. They were under a lot of mental anguish and mental stress, and they needed to overcome. So the Lord is saying they did something different. I wonder how many of us are trying to overcome something, but our prayer life is not unique. It's not special. It's not different. Hallelujah. When something is unique, that means it's treasured above everything else. Right? When it's unique, you say, I got a unique something nobody else has, this, that makes it special. So when Jacob began to wrestle with the man until the breaking of day, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, the man was trying to get away. And we know this is the angel of the Lord. This was God himself. Jacob is wrestling with God. Nobody else ever wrestled with God like Jacob.
Amen.
This was a unique experience signifying the way that the mindset, the approach that we should have in prayer. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we get too cute in prayer. Y'all ever see some cute prayers?
Jesus.
Come on, y'all. Do stop there. Y'all ever see some unique prayers? Some of those pretty prayers?
Jesus.
Our Father.
All right.
unique.
Amen.
Get a hold of God. Like Jacob said, Lord, I got a hold of you there. And I'm not going to let you go. Anybody got a gift like that in prayer? Somebody said, I'm praying. The phone is ringing. I can't answer that phone. Somebody's calling me. Somebody's knocking at the door. I can't answer that. I'm in a place of God now.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to let him know till he... Anybody ever get like that with God in prayer? Lord, I got a hold of you now. I'm not going to let you go. God said, wait a minute, Jake. He said, you got to let me go. It's almost daytime. And at nighttime, you can't see who I am. But when the day comes, you're going to know who I am. Because back then they didn't have streetlights. Right? So when it was dark, it was dark. And he said, I'm not gonna let you go till you bless me. We're talking about a uniqueness in prayer. We're not talking about this thing that's prevailing through prayer. We're not talking about just, what are you doing? Just praying. I'm talking about get a hold of God.
Yes.
Unique prayer experience. Four words they use in that prayer that Jesus said in that 44th verse. They never use it for any other prayer.
Right.
When it came to Jacob wrestling, no one else wrestled with God like Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
So there had to be something about Jesus' prayer. Now let's go to Luke chapter 11. There had to be something different about the way Jesus was praying. When the disciples saw him and they saw, not just saw the prayer, but they saw the results.
All right.
A whole lot of people pray, but where are the
results?
Right? Every time you pray, God said, every time you pray, I hear you. But the difference is, you're just praying out of habit.
Mm-hmm.
You're not praying to really get a hold of me and get my attention.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Because when you want to get my attention, when you begin to pray, you begin to praise. And as you pray and praise, you begin to worship.
Yeah.
You bring a uniqueness to your prayer experience.
Yes.
It's not just, you know, if you got a cry, cry.
Yes.
Amen. Before we go here, let's go to Hebrews chapter 5 first. Let's just hit that, but then we'll come back to this. All right? We'll go to Hebrews chapter 5. Jesus wasn't ashamed to pray. He didn't care who was around. I wonder how many of us have that mindset. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray. I'm not embarrassed. Paul said, I'm not ashamed.
All right.
Amen. I just want to get a hold of God. I don't care who's around me.
Amen.
You want something bad enough for God, cut the world off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love my wife, but when I need God, I need God.
Amen.
I can talk to her anytime. See, you better to God on occasions. I can talk to her. I'm talking about when you really need something for God, you just gotta say, I gotta steal away.
Mm-hmm.
I heard the late Bishop Golder say there were times when you got a hold of God, he would pray all night long and then sleep at all.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't got there yet. I can pray into the night, but I can't go the whole night yet. But he said he would pray all night till he got what he wanted from God.
Jesus.
That's a unique prayer experience.
Mm-hmm.
You don't pray like that every day. Right? So when is the last time we had a unique prayer? Yes, we all come to pray on Monday. Yes, we all make a prayer before church only as we pray. But when was it a unique prayer? When I got a hold of God and I knew it was me and God. And I worship, not praise God. Amen. You can't be ashamed to pray. Hebrews 5:1 says, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may both offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with, he's talking about the regular high priest. Amen. He said he also has infirmities, and by reasons hereof he ought as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. So he's talking about the high priest. Amen. And no man taketh this honor to himself, but he that is called of God as was tribe of Levi. Right? So every high priest came from the tribe of Levi. But the reason the Jews didn't accept Jesus as a high priest, he didn't come from that tribe. Right? So tradition says, you're going to be a high priest, you got to come through that lineage. But when it comes to God, he can break the rules. He doesn't have to follow the ordinary. So the Jews had problems accepting Jesus as a high priest because he wasn't from the tribe of Levi. He was from the tribe of Judah. So they said, wait a minute, how can you be a high priest when you're not from the right tribe? So they discredited who he was. They discredited him being the high priest because he didn't come through the right lineage. I'm so glad when it comes to being saved, God throw the lineage out. He said, come to me just as you are. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain some mercy and find grace to help anybody in a time of need. Then you gotta come boldly to the throne of grace. And don't be ashamed. If you got to cry, cry. But let's keep going. He said, so also verse 5, was Christ glorified, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest. The Jews had problems saying, how are you a high priest? You're not from the tribe of Levi. Amen. But God knows what he's doing. Amen. But he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And as he said also in another place, thou art a priest forever. After the order of, well, how can you be a priest when you're not from the right lineage? You, to be a priest, you have to be a Levi. But if God said you're the priest, you're the priest. And people they couldn't understand. Wait a minute. You're not following the typical protocol. You're not doing it like everybody else do it. Just as I am. Sorry, I said just as I am. That's all you got. Just give God your best. Give him whatever you got. Amen. Verse 7 says, who in the days of, we're talking about who? Jesus, the high priest. When he had offered up prayers and
supplications.
This word, supplication, when you read it, it goes back to the ancient Greek word, which is hypkateria, which means an olive branch wrapped in wood. Right? An olive branch wrapped in wood. We know Jesus was the Lamb of God. Right? And when he prayed, he was in Gethsemane. So he was in the olive branch. So the scripture said that in the days of his flesh, Lord was doing something unique. The Lord was doing something different. It said he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and, Lord, I need you. Hallelujah. I don't have time to be cute. You can be cute anytime. But when you pray, don't you worry about being cute. Don't you worry about looking good. If the Lord can offer up prayers and supplication with strong crying, strong tears, and crying, why can't you?
All right.
That's all there. No, don't cry.
I'm
a man.
Some women are pretty tough. They say, I don't cry for nobody. I just threw that out for y'all, man. You know what? The Lord says, you know what? I gotta make y'all laugh or something. You gotta keep y'all serious. Amen. The Lord says, you know what? I'm gonna show you how to pray. So in the flesh he offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears. Unto him that was able to save him from death was heard in that he feared. Verse 8 says, though he was a
son,
yet learned he
obedience.
Oh. Jesus was God, right? How did God learn obedience when he was? Think about that. Jesus was God, yet he learned
obedience.
There's a unique experience in prayer. When you pray the right way, yet learn your obedience by the things which he when you go through stuff and be obedient and do it God's way, you learn. So he learned obedience through the things which he how can God learn obedience when he's God? Because he was modeling for us what we must do. Jesus' whole life, everything that he did was intended to show us, even though I'm God, I'm going to pattern a model for you. That's why in the book of Peter, he says that we should follow into his footsteps, the pattern that he set. So there was something about Jesus' prayer life. Now let's go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. There was something about Jesus' prayer life. And the apostles knew that he went to the olive press as the lamb when he needed power. So he went to Gethsemane. Everybody said they knew the place. It wasn't a secret. Everybody knew where he went. So in the daytime he would minister, at night he'd go pray. Right? That was a pattern for us to follow if you want victory. Amen? So verse 1 of Luke 11 says, and it came to pass that as he was praying, he was in the Gethsemane. He was in the olive press. He was in the midst of the oil and the pressing and the anointing. Amen. In a certain place, when he those disciples were watching him, they said, wow, something about that prayer. That ain't just an ordinary prayer. Because everybody prayed, right? He talks about the Pharisees and the Sadducees that love to pray in the marketplace to be seen of men, but their prayer was not like the Lord's prayer. A lot of people pray to be seen. But when you pray like you ought to pray, people say, wow, that's praying. So when the Lord prayed, when he ceased, those apostles said, wait a minute. That's unique. We know how to pray, but we don't know how to pray like the unique one. Amen? So they said, and his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Right? After he finished praying, they finished observing him. They said, whoa, that's not an ordinary prayer. The Lord has a different prayer. And so teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples to pray. Now skip down to verse 5. He's teaching them what? How to pray. In between verse 1 and 5, he teaches them the Lord's Prayer, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, so on and so forth. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that sin and trespass against us. Right? So then he comes all the way down to verse 5, he says this, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend? Now we're teaching a method, a principle about what? Prayer. Right? Not that just relaxed prayer. But he's teaching them to pray like he prayed. When he sees, they say, Lord, that prayer was unique. That prayer was different. You gotta teach us how to pray like that. He said, verse 5, for which of you have a friend shall come to him at midnight, say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have, he said, I don't have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. He said, I cannot arise and give thee. He said, you know what? You have to come back tomorrow. Right now, you are inconveniencing me. Now, he's teaching them a what? Principle about prayer. So, he said, you're inconveniencing me. Go and come back. Guess what most of us would do? Go and come back. But he's teaching them a principle, a mindset that we have to have about what? Prayer. For our prayer to be unique. For our prayer to be different. Amen? He says, verse 8, he says, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, his persistency. Even though he said no, he wouldn't stop. Even though he said I can't, he wouldn't stop. Importunity means he persevered until he got what he wanted. When you pray like you ought to pray, you say, I prayed and I didn't get anything. Then it's time to keep on praying. Importunity said, I've been praying for this and God just don't seem like it happened. He said, keep on praying. Right? Pray your way through. You got to prevail through this prayer. So don't stop because you did not get it yet. Amen. Because maybe it didn't come yet, but God has a blessing with your name, with your name on it. Amen. So he's continued, and we teach him the principle about what? Praying like he prayed. So now, when I pray up, so even though somebody said no, I don't stop. Even though I don't feel like I got an answer, I don't stop. Because I'm going to make this prayer a unique prayer experience. Now, the apostles saw everybody praying, but they didn't see anybody pray like Jesus prayed. He said, yes, we saw John's disciples praying, Lord, but they didn't pray like you pray. Well, what else was so unique? God had a designated place where he went to pray. He didn't have a war room, but he had a place.
All right.
And everybody knew when the Lord went there, what was he doing? He was praying. He goes on and said, in the latter part of this, because of the opportunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. I say unto you, ask. We're talking about praying through, prevailing through prayer. So I asked and I didn't get it. Well, after you ask, you didn't get it, then it's time for you to seek. Right? Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Amen. He said, verse 11, if a son shall ask bread of any of you as a father, will you give him a stone? We know all over Israel and Jerusalem, when they were baked the open heart bread, it looked like a stone. So God said, if you ask me for one thing, I would like give you an invitation. If you ask me for something specific, I won't give you something that looked like it. But you got to keep praying. Now let's go to Luke chapter 18. We'll probably close here. All right, Luke 18. Something that we are all pretty familiar with, Luke 18, and we're going to start in verse 1. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
He says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that what?
Men are always.
Can we read this together? He spake a parable to this end, that what?
Men are always.
And
not to faint.
Don't quit. Don't get faint hearted. Don't give up on what you're praying for.
Yes.
Keep praying. And as the Lord, whenever he teaches them, gives them a principle, he also follows it up with an application to get a better understanding of the principle. So he's teaching them to pray their way what? Through. He said, don't quit. Don't give up whatever you've been praying for. Keep praying. Don't faint. Then verse 2 says, saying there was in a city a judge which feared not God. This guy didn't care about nobody. He didn't think about God or man. He's teaching the principle. He's not saying don't be like this judge. He's teaching the mindset that we have to have when we come to God in prayer. Amen. It said, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, he said, listen, I don't fear God. And to be quite honest, I don't even care about man. This is what the judge said, right? I don't even care about me. And he said, yet this widow, she's getting on my nerves. Every time I turn around, she keeps coming back. He said, I don't care about God. Now, God said, listen, if an unjust judge is going to think like that, and I'm the judge of all the earth, and I do right. He said, what about me? Right? So this not just says, I don't care about people. I don't even care about God. He said, man, there's something about this woman. This woman is getting on my nerves. She troubles me. He said, I will avenge her lest for her continual coming. She what? Weary. He teaches me a principle about what? Prayer. What kind of prayer? A unique prayer. He's teaching them to pray like he prayed. Amen. You got to pray your way through it. Even though you don't seem like anything is going to happen, keep on praying. Amen. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Now, why did God use a judge? Because he is what? He's a judge. He said, I'm a righteous, just judge. But look what the unjust judge said. If an unjust judge has that kind of mindset, what about me? I'm your judge. Amen. You just keep coming. Don't give up. Don't quit. Amen. He said, and shall not God avenge his own elect which cry? Don't stop. Your prayer has to be unique. You have to be persistent. You have to be consistent. You can't just pray in the morning and say, that's enough. He said, pray what? Day and night. Somebody want to pray a unique prayer experience? I don't just pray and I don't watch the clock and say, okay, I got my 10 minutes in, I'm finished. Jacob said, I don't know how long this been. He said, me and the man of God, we've been wrestling how long? Jacob didn't have time to look at clocks. Now, our problem is we like to set too many bounds. We need God for an answer. Well, how about you pray? I prayed my 10 minutes, and that's all I'm praying. He said, hear what the unjust judge says. He said, this woman's going to worry me to death because she won't stop coming. That's the mindset that we have to have when we want a unique prayer. How often you pray? I prayed this morning, I prayed this afternoon, and I prayed tonight. David said morning, night, and noon. Mm-hmm. Morning, night, and noon, I'm going to seek God. Amen. Because I need an answer. Mm-hmm. Says, I tell you that God will avenge them speedily. He said, but even through the whole process of praying, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find? If you don't have faith in your prayer, it's not doing you any good. This is the principle that we have to have in a unique prayer. Somebody said, well, I've been praying and I don't see anything. When Elijah, we read on Watch Night Service, we read that Elijah prayed and God shut up the heavens. Because the point is, Elijah had to be doing some serious praying. He didn't just shut up the heavens for a day and a night. But he shut up the heavens for 3 years and that's some serious praying. He prayed to God, heard him, and then his prayer bent the rules of nature. Even though nature said it should be, his prayer was of such that for 3 years and 6 months it didn't rain on the earth. But then the Bible says that Elijah was up on Mount Carmel with Baal and all those false prophets. And after he finished destroying them, he said, I hear the abundance of rain, but I don't see nothing. Now we're talking about a principle in a unique prayer, not just a nickel and dime. So if say he prayed the first time, and he sent his servant out, he said, what do you see? Servant came back, he said, you know what, Elijah? Are you sure you got this one? He said, I don't see nothing. The Bible said Elijah prayed again and he sent him out the second time. He came back, he said, what do you see? He said, Father, you know, I know you got some power with God. He said, I don't see nothing. He did this six times. After the second or third time, most of us would have quit. But when you have confidence in your prayer, and you know you're praying to God, and that God will hear you, you won't stop. You will keep praying. Day and night, I got to pray my way through. Then on the seventh, just like God, he's seventh, is number of completion and perfection. Right? On the seventh time, the servant came back, he said, well, you're praying, all I see is a little cloud. But For 3 years and 6 months, they haven't seen
no
class. No class. So sometimes our situation has been messed up for a long time, and we ain't seen, excuse me, we ain't seen nothing. All this time we've been praying, we ain't seen a thing. I've been going through this all these years, and ain't nothing happened. But then I see a little change. I see a small indicator that God is moving on my behalf. He said, well, he's a large loss. He says, a little old cloud. Goliath said, it's time for us to get down. Right? He said, because it's getting ready to rain. And you know what always amazed me? He said, if we don't get down out of this mountain, the blessing's going to overtake us, and we're going to be stuck on the mountain. He said, so let us get down so the blessing that we've been praying for don't hinder us.
Amen.
Some of us are standing still. We've been praying. God is moving, but you're not moving. He showed. He, listen, God got a hold of Elijah, and he outran Ahab and his chariot. Why? Because the Spirit of God got a hold of him. You got to pray till the Spirit begins to move you. Tonight we're talking about, as we all stand, the what? Uniqueness of your prayer. I don't know how you've been praying, and I don't know what you've been expecting. But tonight, can we purpose? I'm going to pray my way through. Even though I might not see anything, I'm still going to pray. I've been praying and I don't see a change. I've been praying for this one, I've been praying for that one, I've been praying for loved ones. I don't see anything, but I'm going to keep on praying. Don't stop praying. Don't give up on God. He said, because of importunity, be persistent in prayer. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't turn your back. Believe God. If you see a small indication, that's just a good thing. Let you know God's about to give you your request. Tonight, you're perfect. We want to have a unique prayer experience. To have a unique prayer experience, we have to pray until we pray through. Can we say pray through?
Pray through.
So tonight when I get home, I just want to get a hold of God. In the midnight hour, I just want to get a hold of God. And I want to pray till I'm assured that God has heard my prayer. And even though I don't